I hope that worked because I couldn't hear it.
I didn't hear anything.
Welcome to the Workshop Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew. And joining me today is my co-host.
Oh, I've moved up to co-host.
Been on enough now that you're not a guest anymore.
Yep.
So this was your idea. This one here. Oh, you sent me this and said maybe we should play this on the podcast and then discuss it. So we will.
A story about a pottery teacher who decided to split his class into two groups. The first group had to make a pot every single day for 30 days, so they made 30 pots in total. But the second group had to work on one single pot for the whole 30 days. Now, at the end of the month, the teacher judged the quality of these pots, and without exception, every single one of the top 10 pots came from the first group, which were the people that made one pot per day. The interesting thing is that none came from the group that focused on perfecting their single pot. So what can we learn from this? Well, learning from your mistakes always leads to a better quality result. So stop letting perfectionism paralyze you.
So if that didn't work, then I'm going to edit it in post. But why did you want to talk about that?
Thank you for putting me on the spot. I think it kind of piggybacked onto our discussion from last week. And I think we get trapped in that toxic perfectionism of I need to get this thing perfect. And we get obsessed over it. And we don't realize that the perfection or the better thing comes in from the mistakes.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of when you sent that to me was a podcast that I'd listened to a while back. And the takeaway from the podcast was fail faster. And so the guy was talking about you don't get better by obsessing about the one thing. You get better by producing your product, failing, and then iterating on that failure. And doing that as fast as you can. And the faster you can get through the failures, the sooner you'll get to the successful product. So it was an entrepreneur type podcast, but it's still applicable.
But I think that's what a lot of us struggle with right now when we kind of grew up in that transitional era of like, there's only winners, there's no losers, right? And so then you learn to, like for me, I learned to fear losing, because obviously losing was bad. Whereas I think if we let kids lose, like I don't have a problem losing at a game because my grandma was ruthless. She played cards to win from the time I was little. It didn't matter if it was goldfish or what it was. Grammy won at cards, and you know that's true. She did not have a problem with.
She was a savage, yes.
Right? But I don't have a problem losing at cards or winning at cards. Like I enjoy playing it because I'm not afraid to lose.
Yeah.
Whereas other aspects of my life is the complete opposite.
Yeah. Your comment about the transitional period of, you know, there are no losers.
Yeah.
We experienced in the 80s, last century, in the 80s, there was the mindset.
I think that you experienced it more than me because you had older siblings in the 80s. And I didn't. I was just a little kid then.
Yeah.
So continue.
Well, but the 80s, the 80s was if you're not a winner, you're a loser. And that kind of carried through into the early 90s, at which point culture, in education anyway, culture went to the other extreme of everybody's a winner and nobody fails.
And again, also where I think that although we're the same age, we had differences in where you grew up versus where I grew up.
Oh, yeah, a vastly different experience.
because mine was very much like from the time I was young, it was everybody wins.
Yeah. No, I wasn't.
No.
I mean, we're the same age, but I grew up 10 years earlier than you did.
You did.
Maybe even 20 years earlier than you.
Potentially. But yeah, no, we couldn't call people out on losing or anything like that. Like, it just didn't. Wasn't a thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. So how does that apply to mental health?
It messes you up.
Losing?
Not losing.
Not losing.
I think not losing because you don't, because it puts that failure in a scary place because you don't know what's going to happen. And because you don't have a reference for it's okay to fail, people are still going to be there, I can get up and I can do this again, it becomes a source of anxiety, fear, depression, all of those things. And that's what a part of why I think so many of us are playing a mental game in our head for every little thing. Because what if I fail at loading the dishwasher correctly? What's going to happen?
Nothing. The dishes won't get as clean.
Right? But you're much better at doing that than I am.
Loading the dishwasher?
No, but one of the things that holds me back is what if I do it wrong? Like, I'm afraid of failing at loading the dishwasher.
That makes sense now that I'm thinking about it, to be honest.
Yeah. And there's a fear of, and I think this is especially true, and you'll probably hear more of this from me now that I have 2 masters on it, but for those of us in the neurodivergent camp, because there's a missing of those cues or a missing of understanding of executive function skills, it's harder. And so that fear builds up when you're not sure and when you can't anticipate what people's reactions are going to be. And I think that's a lot of the reason that holds a lot of people back. It's because I just don't want to deal with that much unknown.
Yeah, when every decision that you make is based on an unknown outcome.
It just gets overwhelming to the point of every decision down to, am I wearing the right socks today? Becomes too much.
Hence the reason you don't wear socks.
Exactly. Just avoid socks. But there is a lot of that stuff that decision fatigue causes then those products to not be made, that discovery to not be done, the creativity, like the creative process just doesn't happen because you are paralyzed.
Yeah.
So what's the answer, Dr. Hatch?
I'm not a doctor in this, so I can't I can't give you the answer.
It's true. You're a doctor of other things.
I'm a doctor of other things. Eventually I might be a doctor of mental health too, but we'll see. How does it apply to creativity? Pursuing your hobbies and woodworking and blacksmithing and painting and art.
Start by screwing up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is if you only do the things that you know how to do, then you're never going to get better. Like, you have to do something that you're going to mess up in order to learn how not to mess up. And whether it's painting or woodworking or whatever. I mean, there's obviously some things that you should avoid doing if you don't know how to do them.
Like operating a chainsaw. Oops, sorry. I was yawning.
Operating a chainsaw or a table saw or, you know, power tools in general, you should have some level of theoretical knowledge before you...
And kitchen implements.
Yes. Kitchen implements. I mean, there are completely safe...
Not can openers.
...things.
We've done the hospital trip for our son with that one.
Yeah. No, I was in there are some completely safe things that you can do, I'm assuming. I mean, maybe not like painting. I was thinking painting is pretty safe, but I guess if you're a big enough idiot to eat the paint, maybe that's bad enough. That's bad for you, but I guess you can get edible paints for kids. So start there.
Start with edible paints and brushes and paper.
So paint with some licorice.
No, but I do think like there's obviously things that are less risky to fail at. And maybe that's the takeaway, is start failing at things.
Yep.
I have gotten better at the dishwasher, but it's because I don't have to load it completely full, perfectly loaded all the time. Like, I fight that urge every time to be like, oh, no, it's not right. But I think as I let go of that, it becomes easier.
Yeah. So that's something you could share with the podcast would be... what are some of the things that you failed and learned from?
Yeah.
You know, call to action there. Speaking of calls to action from our last one, though. Yeah, we had a couple, actually. So.
Oh, I know this one. You told me. And you're wrong.
What Dave's doing.
Dave is wrong. I'm offended by you, Dave, just so you know.
Clothes are organized by function is the correct way to organize a closet. Makes it easier.
It is not.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember who else sent stuff. You can talk while I find.
I can talk. I think one of the reasons we've had this conversation before. One of the reasons that I think that I was successful as a musician for schooling was because I had some massive fails right off the bat where I like got up to perform and forgot all my music and got up to play the organ and slid off the organ bench and landed on the keyboard below. That I had some massive fails and realized nobody really cared and I could keep going. And although now I don't necessarily like to perform in public anymore, I do think that those things helped me to get through a lot of things and to be more creative with my music. That being said, I'm still terrified to fail in like every aspect of my life. So
another tip or organizational thing that Tectonic Creations sent in. He says for his cups of coffee in the morning, he has all of his coffee stuff in one spot, kind of speaking to the, mm-hmm. you know, having your stations,
yeah.
uh-huh. all your tea stuff in one spot, because if it's not there, he doesn't.
Which I just coffee. Read about in a textbook, just saying.
It is a strategy.
It is a strategy.
Yeah. And he sent a message about how it's a very relatable feeling, because he says when he feels it, like his home is in chaos or his shop is in chaos, he absolutely hates it and then he avoids it. And that's,
yeah.
that happens a lot.
Yeah. Well, I was reading about solutions for kids with autism today and things that make classroom more effective. And one of them is having your things, like having all your math books be one color, having all of your LAB books be a different color. And then that goes down to like the folder that you keep your papers in. That goes with that is that same color. Everything is that way. And so you can see it and it's quick and easy. Grab the blue stuff and go. Grab the red stuff and go. When you set up systems in your house or in your classroom, it would be, or in your workshop, it's having all of those things together. And if you need reminders of, hey, you know, like I often forget to do this step of finishing or whatever it is on your project that you're working on, there's nothing wrong with having a little list there of, did you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? You know, having a quick checklist by the door when you leave the shop. Did you turn this off? Did you do this? Did you do that? And then maybe if I had that by the door, I wouldn't like halfway through being somewhere go, oh no, did I turn off my hair straightener or whatever it was, right? Like, I think we feel like as adults, we have to go through life without those things, or at least I feel like that was the expectation, that we had to memorize everything and we had to just be able to do it. And there's nothing wrong with having supports, having alerts in your phone, whatever it is that works for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and they had like down to like the color-coded classroom, then your color-coded alerts were the same. So all your math alerts came up as blue in your phone. So you immediately knew what it was without having to read it.
That's well organized.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot better executive functioning than I have. But but it does make sense. And I can see how it would be very beneficial and avoid some burnout. If you could get through the burnout of organizing it that way in the first place.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we're on and off again, meal planners and schedulers and stuff, right? And when things get scheduled, and meal plans get made, things function
so
smoother.
Much better.
However, we're also on, like, as on and off again implies, we've failed at it a number of times. But each time we've failed, we've kind of iterated a little bit on how we're tracking and how we're doing it.
Yeah,
and each time we're successful at it, where it lasts a little bit longer. Like, we've made like 3 weeks in a row this time.
I know.
This is amazing on the meal plan.
It is amazing on the meal plan.
Anyway,
that being said, when we deviate from it, our autistic son gets a little annoyed.
Yes, it's true. Anyway, so the takeaway is fail faster and be okay with failure.
Yep.
Like we tell our son all the time is you only really fail when you give up trying.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter. It's like the whole Edison light bulb thing, right? Yeah. Cure. I didn't fail 1,000 times. I found 1,000 ways to not make a light bulb.
Yeah. And I think that's it. Like, switch it in your mindset so that it's a positive, not a negative.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and there's another story. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, or if it's actually true, about Thomas Edison. He was working with a lot of nitrocellulose, right? Which is extremely, extremely flammable.
Flammable.
It does. Anyway, at one point his shop caught on fire and, you know, there's nothing they could do because all this nitrocellulose just went up super fast. And instead of panicking and freaking out, what he did is he ran to his house and he woke up his wife and kids and told them to rush outside because they were never going to see another fire like this again. So that is a way to, you know, change a negative into a positive, you know, like if you really mess something up, like, well, you're never going to see a mess up like that again.
What's that song? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Yeah.
So don't fence it. Don't be waffly because it's not going to help. You have to pick one or the other. So either you're going to be positive, make the mistakes and move forward, or you're falling into the negative. My life is crap and I'm never going to get the things done that I want to get done.
Yep. And then you run away and avoid and don't wear socks and don't load the dishwasher.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Because you never do anything like that.
Not with the dishwasher or socks. I do it with a lot of other things.
You did not socks. I will give you not socks.
Anyway.
That's it. That's all you're getting is not socks.
So we went by the 15 minutes that you said you wanted to record to stop
that. That's true. I have a migraine and schoolwork to do. So I
need to go to bed. And I have schoolwork to do and I need to go to bed too. So thanks for listening. And I promise there was supposed to be a guest this week, but because of misscheduling on my part and her forgetting and me forgetting too, I wrote it down in my schedule wrong. That didn't get recorded, but we are scheduled.
Color-coded schedule.
Yep. We are scheduled to record again. So hopefully we'll get that out next week. We'll have a different guest on.
Yeah, maybe. You won't have to listen to me again.
Well, maybe I'll talk you into co-hosting with me. Be the first co-hosted with a guest episode. Or not.
Maybe. We'll see.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And if you want to support on Patreon, go ahead and do that. If you want to send in a question.
Questions at workshoptherapy.com.
Nope.
Oh.
Questions at workshoptherapypodcast.com.
Oh. Sorry.
Workshop Therapy was already a taken domain, so it had to be Workshop Therapy
Podcast. I misinformed you. You did. Look, I just failed.
Don't listen to her.
I just failed.
Yep. And then you iterated. I guess I iterated.
Yeah. And then you made me feel bad.
But now you won't make that mistake again until next time we record.
I will 100% make that mistake again because it's not something that I'm keeping in my working memory. Well, my working memory doesn't work, so.
Your working memory is on blocks in the front yard?
Pretty much.
Right beside the toilet, planted with flowers.
Better not be.
So if you found anything from this episode to be helpful and you want to reinforce it for yourself, I'd like to invite you to share it with a friend in the next 24 hours. That'll help reinforce it in your mind and it'll help those around you, which is always a good thing. So thanks again for listening. And now I'd like to say a thank you to all the amazing patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast. You guys make the show possible. If you're finding the show helpful and you want to support it, there are a few tiers, including a simple $1 a month option to just say thanks. For $5 a month, you can get access to the patrons only feed that has a pre-show and a post-show in addition to the regular podcast all in one feed. You all know that the good stuff happens after the official mics are off, right? If you can't support financially, I totally understand. But I'd love it if you left a 5-star review or told a friend about the podcast. If you have any questions or feedback, I'd love to hear that as well. Send it to questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com and I'll get it on the show. I want to say thank you to all the patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast, but especially to the founding fathers. And they are Mr. Matthew Serio from Argiano Serio, Mr. Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, Mr. Keith Drennan of Blackthorn Concepts, Mr. Eric Peterson of Overall Maker Works, Mr. Brandon Millichamp of Tectonic Creations, and the one and only the Grant Alexander. So a special thank you to the founding fathers, and thank you to everybody who supports and shares the Workshop Therapy Podcast.